Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Amy Eddings, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Following court and interdepartment battles, the Obama administration yesterday released four memos in which Bush Justice Department officials offered legal justification for interrogation methods used against detainees in the war on terror. The memos went into detail about such techniques as waterboarding, sleep deprivation, putting prisoners in boxes, and in one instance, the use of an insect. Does this signal a new era of openness following the secrecy of the previous administration? Shane Harris has been following these issues. He's the intelligence correspondent for National Journal. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, I'm happy to be back.
Quickly, just set us up. When were these memos written and who wrote them?
Right. So what released yesterday were four memos written in 2002 is the first one. The others were written in 2005. These came out of the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, which is the office that essentially interprets the law and tells the executive branch what actions that they can take and whether they're within the law. The memos were written by Mr. Bybee, who was in the OLC office at the beginning of the Bush administration, and later by Stephen Bradbury, who took over. And really what these are essentially memos from the administration's top lawyers interpreting specifically the laws against torture in the United States and international treaties against torture and answering for the CIA, here is what we think that your officers, your interrogators can actually do to stay within these laws and these obligations.
The Obama administration was compelled to release the memos by a court order, wasn't it? Could it have continued to fight their release?
I believe it could have continued to fight. It had until yesterday under a lawsuit that was brought by the ACLU to either release the memos or give some explanation for why it wasn't going to, or to release them in redacted form. There had been some speculation in the days leading up to this event whether or not the administration would release the memos in full, whether they would be heavily redacted. And I have to say that these are almost the full copies. From what I've seen of the redactions in these memos, what you're seeing is that names of individual operatives and officers have been redacted, presumably just to protect personal privacy.
Was that a surprise for you? I understand there was a big battle within the administration about how much of the memos to redact. Were you surprised to see them come out as completely as they did?
Not entirely. I think there was a pretty intense battle from what we know from the reporting on this, inside with what to redact and what not to. The reason that I'm not terribly surprised by this is that all of these tactics that are detailed, these interrogation techniques and these memos, none of these are being used anymore, and they haven't been used for some time. And President Obama, with an executive order he issued shortly after his inauguration, expressly forbid the use of these techniques. So in the case, the argument that was made, including by, I think, CIA Director Panetta, as to why to not release these or to redact them, was that it could reveal methods and techniques that the intelligence agencies use on detainees and therefore presumably give an edge to those detainees. But none of these are being used anymore, and I think that might be part of the rationale for why these were released in such full order.
I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm speaking with Shane Harris, intelligence correspondent for the National Journal, about the Bush-era torture memos released by President Obama's administration yesterday. Michael Hayden, former CIA director, spoke on MSNBC yesterday and said the release of these memos harms national security.
There are a lot of things that governments do that aren't naturally or in the course of events immediately made public. After all, this began life as a covert action whose definition is that the hand of the United States government is never acknowledged and the details of the operation are never revealed. And so I don't think it automatically fits into the class of the American people need to know.
You cover the intelligence community. How strongly opposed was it to releasing these memos?
Yeah, I think that former Director Hayden probably reflects the tone in the intelligence community against releasing these memos. There are probably two strong arguments from their point of view. One is, I think what he just articulated, is that does this really need to be something the public needs to know, since this, in fact, was meant to be a covert operation that was meant to shield U.S. involvement? The cat was out of the bag on that one, frankly, before these memos were ever released. I mean, pretty much all of the techniques that are detailed here, the public already knew had occurred and that the CIA had did them.
Right. So, I mean, it further begs the question, why Why show your hand so fully? Why not play it coy, let the International Red Cross and its interviews with Guantanamo Bay detainees reveal this information without the administration coming out fully and completely saying this? Isn't the release of this just, in essence, to allow for prosecutions down the road? I know President Obama granted immunity to the CIA officers, but the administration didn't really grant immunity to the authors of the memo. Is that the intent here?
Well, that's a really good question. I think you're sort of zeroing in on what is it that right now the next big question. I think in releasing these memos, there's an argument to be made, and this does happen sometimes in Washington, where you can get ahead of this by being the party that discloses all the information, right? So the administration can say, look, we're going to lay all this out on the table. We're going to air these memos. It's worth noting that there are other memos the ACLU has sued for that they're not releasing. There are also memos on other intelligence techniques like surveillance that the administration does not appear inclined to release. I think that in releasing these memos the way they did in full, and also mounting this just full court press that you saw yesterday by senior administration officials, the Attorney General, the Director of National Intelligence, the President, emphasizing over and over again, we are not going to prosecute line-level CIA officials who were following orders. I think this partly could be read as them trying to get ahead of this argument. At the same time, you raise that question, what about the lawyers who wrote these memos? Right. And the administration has remained, I think, conspicuously silent on that. And I think we'll see in coming days. I mean, there are proceedings actually going on right now in Spain to issue indictments against some of the authors of these memos. That's going to create potentially an international incident as well. I think that's the next big question for the administration is, once these are now public, once more become public, and if there are in fact public proceedings on the Hill, inquiries into this, what does that mean for people like the authors of the memo, for Alberto Gonzalez and former administration officials who were really at the top of the chain in this?
Spain had been looking into indictments against Bush officials over torture, but yesterday it decided not to proceed. Is the International Criminal Court likely to act now and take this up?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I think that this is, I would be quite surprised if the administration were willing to let it go to that point. I mean, I don't think that they really want to see this blossom into an international incident. But, you know, there are politics at play here domestically, and this administration has tried to distance itself as much as possible from some of the previous intelligence tactics and operations on an optic level. And I think that's the important distinction here, that underneath a lot of this, they are maintaining a lot of these policies. I think there's a lot of optics in this release yesterday.
Shane, can I ask you about that? I mean, you've written on the security policies that the Obama administration has kept from the Bush era. Is this a real break with those policies? Does this satisfy those on the liberal left who want President Obama, who thought President Obama would do more?
Yeah, I don't think it will entirely satisfy them. I mean, I'm just specifically looking at interrogation. He did issue an executive order that requires that the intelligence agencies stay within the interrogation techniques spelled out in what's called the Army Field Manual. And to be sure, it is a much narrower set of techniques than anything that is included in these memos by far. It probably looks a lot more like the kinds of techniques that you might see a law enforcement agency use.
However, he's given himself the option to go back and take those torture techniques back, though, right?
Correct. There's a back door to this. And I mean, this is reflective of the larger theme of presidential history, which is that presidents, commanders-in-chief, do not tend to willingly shed their executive prerogatives and authorities in this area of national security. So interrogation is one example. A really potent example is the question of surveillance, specifically the kind of surveillance that was conducted by the National Security Agency of phone calls and emails after the 9/11 attacks. In that case, there is, in fact, now a law in place that grants the NSA dramatically enhanced authorities to surveil the global communications network. Senator Obama, then a candidate, was opposed to that law and ultimately voted for it. And his administration has shown no inclination at all to go back and to reverse that law. In fact, Attorney General Holder has said that he has been told by people from the Justice Department that this program that the NSA conducted for years after 9/11 was an effective tool for catching terrorists. Mm. So in that sense, I think you see, you know, it's sort of, there's a status quo kind of continuation here. Guantanamo Bay, the facility there, is another example. The president has issued an executive order to close that facility within a year, but it's entirely up in the air what's going to happen to the 200-some individuals currently held at that facility. They will certainly not be released on the year anniversary of that executive order. If there's been no determination as to what to do with them, they could simply be moved to another federal prison.
We'll have to leave it there. I've been talking to Shane Harris of the National Journal, and we are continuing to take your thoughts and comments online. Go to WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show, and leave your comments. Was this folly for President Obama to release these memos, or do you think it was the right thing to do in the spirit of transparency and openness? Let us know. Shane Harris, thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
I'm Amy Eddings in for Brian Lehrer. Up next, composting city style. Stay with us.